This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. It's the one place in Kentucky where politicians are actually encouraged to be less than civil. The tiny town of Fancy Farm, home of the St. Jerome Parish Picnic, is also home to the state's biggest political stage for one day every year. And that day was Saturday. Let's talk about what happened. Joining Cincinnati Edition now are Campbell County Republican Party Chairwoman Sarah Cameron. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, thank you.
Former Kenton County Democratic Party Chairman Carl Owens. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you.
And Northern Kentucky University Professor of Political Science, Dr. Ryan Salzman. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you.
And your daughter Nina is in the control room there learning how to control the board, so she might be working here sometime.
Help us all. Help us all.
Give us a call if you want to weigh in on the state of Kentucky politics as we head towards an election in November, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets. I think we should start with just a little explanation of what Fancy Farm is. It is rather unique. It is very Kentucky. The picnic's been around since like 1881, but since 1956, it's been this thing. It's drawn national figures. George C. Wallace came in the 70s, Lloyd Benson, a vice presidential candidate in 88, Vice President Al Gore as a candidate in 92. But these aren't like traditional stump speeches, Cole.
No, they're not.
What do politicians running for office in Kentucky hope to accomplish by appearing at Fancy Farm?
Well, I think it's as much performance as it is persuasion. People want, obviously, to increase their followership, if you will, but they do it through a lot of sort of good fun and yet hard-hitting, pokes at their opponents.
And Sarah, I guess it's safe to assume that candidates don't go to Fancy Farm with any indication that they're going to move the political needle based on what they say or based on the feedback from the crowd there.
No, I don't think that's the case at all. I think that they go to Fancy Farm with their best jives in their pocket and to see if they can possibly go viral these days on either YouTube or Twitter with some of their jabs at their opponents. But I was explaining to someone in the hall before the show what Fancy Farm is. And I said, it's actually a Catholic picnic, which is kind of funny, and lots of great barbecue, but you're encouraged to be rowdy. And it's entertaining. If you watch the playbacks of the speech, it's almost at times difficult to hear the speech itself from all the cheering or the jeering of the participants or the people who are watching and cheering on their team.
That was the reason I decided not to personally go this year. I was really close to going this year because it's a governor's race and you want to see this excitement, this energy. But the last couple times I've gone down there, first of all, it's 5 hours away.
It's at the other end
of Kentucky.
Yes.
It's in the far west, the Jackson Purchase region, they call it. It's like very, very far. But also, gosh, it is so loud. You really have a hard time hearing the speeches if you're not watching on TV. And Ryan, you're from Texas, and I know they know how to do politics in Texas too, but you're in Kentucky now, and you watched on TV where mm-hmm. you could hear the speeches fairly well. What did you think? This is an observer of politics and a first-time observer of this event.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I think that's what I expected, was that it was a lot of fun. But I did try to think back, this was the 139th. How, it had to have been from the get-go. And like you said, only about 70 years that they've been really having these stump speeches. But the amount of play towards the television by the people who were there, and I think you're probably right, like the jeers and cheers really ramping up and even turning around and having a lot of the audience members face the cameras as they were getting the shots. But yeah, it seemed like a lot of fun, seemed like good way to spend a summer afternoon for sure.
I saw a lot of the signs were actually two-faced, mm-hmm. one for, the speaker and the other for the camera, so that the messages were pretty clear. I thought that was clever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does play on KET, the public television network in Kentucky, and gets a lot of media coverage elsewhere. So a good opportunity to spread some message.
I would say, though, that it's not entirely without effect outside. I mean, I watched it on KET this year. I've been several times before, sweltering hot, as well as distant. But some people, I think, made a real impression on voters. Some of the speeches, Robert Conway's, for example, touched a lot of people. So I think they did expand their followers as well as, have fun.
Well, let's break that down. That's what we want to get into now. The headline act, of course, is the race for governor, and both incumbent Republican Governor Matt Bevin was there, along with his opponent, Democratic Attorney General Andy Beshear. This race so far looks like it could be a close one. So I'm wondering, how did they do at Fancy Farm? Let's start with you, Ryan, just as the independent observer.
Yeah, I thought that that the Attorney General's speech, Mr. Beshear's speech, was probably what would be a more traditional Fancy Farm speech. Lots of jabs and jokes, really, really well polished. But then pivoting to the governor, if you haven't seen Matt Bevin speak, it's really impressive because he has no notes. And I've seen him speak a number of times, and I've never seen him use notes. But he has this flow about him that can be very captivating. And so it was very, very Matt Bevin. And I think that it was very Fancy Farm for Andy Beshear. But they definitely got their points out there. You know, Matt Bevin was, whose side are you on? Pick a side. That was the whole mantra from the get-go. Andy Beshear probably didn't talk enough about teachers. He probably should have talked about teachers even more, because that's something that the Bevin administration is clearly trying to avoid. So I thought that the policies were very, very much there, but the nature of the speeches were quite different.
I've said the same thing sitting on the other side of this table back when I was more of a guest on this program with other hosts, and that Matt Bevin is a very good extemporaneous speaker. However, I always add the caveat that, you know, as a reporter in a crowd covering his remarks, a lot of times when you go back to read exactly what it was that he said, it is a little stream of consciousness sometimes where he goes off on a tangent and then never revisits whatever it was that started. But in that type of show place, he does have some showmanship about him. And Sarah, Bevin seemed focused on abortion in this, blew up this invitation to a fundraiser that Andy Beshear attended, trying to link the organizers of that to, I think, what Matt Bevin refers to as the abortion industry.
Right.
Is the issue of abortion going to anchor his reelection campaign?
I think it's going to be a very important issue because it's definitely one that contrasts the two candidates. I'll go ahead and echo what Ryan said. The speeches, in terms of their dynamics, were very different. Andy seemed to be tied to a script of jokes that weren't written by him. And Governor Bevin was speaking from the heart. And you can tell that the issue of abortion and pro-life, that's something that hits really deep inside his soul. And he did start out his speech with that big blown up fundraiser invitation. And I thought that was pretty interesting. I like props, what do I say? But I thought that was interesting because he highlights here, look, this is the only doctor in Kentucky doing abortions, and he headlines his fundraiser here. So absolutely, I don't know if it's going to anchor his campaign because he has lots of great accomplishments to run on. But I do think it's important that he tells Kentuckians, listen, there are two different choices in this race. A pro-life choice or a pro-abortion choice. And I think even the lieutenant governor candidate, maybe was trying to start something, but called him Abortion Andy. I don't know if that's going to be a hashtag or something that we're going to see in the future, but that's definitely a issue that he wants to show they're different on.
One quote from Bevin from the Fancy Farm stage is, quote, "Are you on the side of life? Are you on the side of those who would take lives and profit from the blood money associated with it?" Cole, how are the Democrats going to counter that type of rhetoric about abortion, which seems to be a very prevalent issue this time around?
Well, this issue has been, you know, going on here for a long, long time. The Supreme Court spoke many years ago. That's the law. Our opponents keep wanting to relitigate that issue. I mean, it's inflammatory rhetoric, you know, and I would look at the race and I would look at his speech and, you know, theatrics aside, all of that about performance, I think it's about abortion and about trying to nationalize the race. I mean, we have here, you know, for all of his vaunted extemporaneous speaking ability, the least popular governor in the country. And a governor who's reaching outside of himself to find ways to overcome that by grasping to the president who has endorsed him and by grasping this issue, which does, in fact, animate a lot of people. We'll have to the abortion issue, and we'll have to see how that plays out. But I also want to say something about Andy's speech. I don't think it was just, you know, a rigid speech. Some of the quips were obviously rehearsed and written.
He's a little, you know, compared to Bevin, who is a little more animated and a little quicker on the stump, Andy's just a little more laid back, it seems, a little more restrained.
Well, I don't know if that's the way I would describe it. He's more cerebral, for sure. And I looked at that and I think, okay, so what's he done as attorney general? I mean, he's brought a lot of lawsuits very effectively to rein in the excesses of the Bevin administration, very successfully in court. But you have to look at the issues that he did talk about. And Ryan, you alluded to these earlier. You know, this race, honestly, in Kentucky today is not about abortion. It is about education. It's about funding education adequately. It's about, are we going to privatize it or not? Give the money to charter schools, or are we going to maintain a strong public education system? Are we going to have stable pensions for people who enter that profession? It's always been part of the deal for teachers and for all other public employees. You work for less, but you get a stable future. That's at risk. Healthcare. You know, not taking down 500,000 people from health care by taking the Medicaid expansion apart.
But you have to be able to sell those, and Beshear's on top of the ticket. So there's a lot riding on his speeches when he's out on the stump and when he's doing those campaign ads.
That speech was pretty well received Saturday.
One of his remarks in the speech was, thank you to the governor for finally showing up. I guess we have to thank the Cook brothers for letting him. I guess they didn't tell him Fancy Farm wasn't one of their fancy resorts. So that's Beshear throwing a little red meat at the left side of the audience. He and his running mate, Jacqueline Coleman, also did, like Call suggested, wanted to focus on education and talking about what they see as a danger of charter schools coming to the state. Ryan, how vulnerable is the incumbent Matt Bevin on the issue of education and teachers in Kentucky?
I mean, there is no issue that he is more vulnerable on, and he's exposed himself to this in part because these are the, you know, the cleanest quotes that many of us have heard about every 6 months, it seems like, if not even more regularly. And I think that became very clear that he wasn't going to try to make up any ground there. I don't want to say that he's giving up the issue, but he just knows how exposed that he is on it. But education is certainly a big issue. We can talk about abortion all we want. Clearly, the legislature did that during the last General Assembly. Guns and abortion was what they dealt with. So I actually wonder, if you're voting on the issue of abortion, what's left to do in the Kentucky General Assembly? I've no doubt that there are more restrictions they can put on it. But they've really, I mean, and I don't say this is a bad thing. It's just an observation that they've really changed a lot of these laws. Same for guns. Education, however, there's a lot of balls still up in the air. We legalized charter schools, but they are not funded. So there is a lot left to be resolved on this issue. And so if you're in Kentucky, you need to figure out where you are on that issue, not that there's a side, but that there's a spectrum, and try to cast your vote in accordance with that. Because that is really going to be the one, I think, that over the next year, two or three or four, is going to be the one that's going to have to keep coming up. And it's not as clear as you think it would be. Many Republicans, even in the General Assembly, have defected on some of those votes. So there's a lot still left to be resolved there. And the fact that the governor's running away from it shows that that's really kind of an exposed nerve for him.
I'm not sure I agree that the governor's running away from it. And I think if you are truly committed to better education in Kentucky, you definitely want to reelect Governor Bevin. Because for the first time, and there's a chart going out, I think, I know I posted it, but I think Governor Bevin did as well. I mean, Governor Bevin's the first governor who actually fully funded the pensions in over 20 years. And this is the teachers' pensions. And because of the way that he has ran this state so well, he had almost a $200 million surplus. $70 million of that surplus are going to fund the teachers' health care. So that's number one. The teachers in this state are more secure in their pensions and more secure in their retirements because of the great work that Matt Bevin has done. And to say anything else is not grounded in fact.
Well, somebody who did say something is Dr. Salzman's neighbor in Bellevue. Salzman's also a city councilman in Bellevue, and Bellevue a superintendent. There's an independent school district there. The superintendent said that there's a teacher shortage in Kentucky. That's been well documented by media across the state. But Superintendent Rob Smith in Bellevue specifically said that as they struggle to fill positions, that these types of issues are pitting school districts against each other. And it seems like a lot of that blame is falling on the governor. So, Cole, in spite of what Sarah says from the Republican side, that the governor has done this, this, and this for teachers and for education, why is this still apparently a losing issue for him?
Well, let's begin with the shortage, 5,000 statewide. I mean, that's a big number. And there are reasons for that, that with all respect to my friend over here, that are simply animating teachers. They are concerned about their pensions. They are concerned about the future. This bill that just passed is not any great solace to them. They're still out there. They don't like being called thugs. They don't like being characterized that way, and they don't like the fact that they're vulnerable to private schools. They're vulnerable to inadequate funding. You know, the administration likes to brag that they provided more money than ever, but when you break it down to the CARA formula and where they are with that, not true. I mean, you could say a lot of other things about their lack of support for public education, but I would just say this isn't a partisan thing. I mean, I know many teachers who are Republicans, but they are out there leading the charge because they don't feel stable and they are definitely worried about the future. You mentioned one superintendent. I spoke with another superintendent just this morning. And I'll leave unnamed, but said if we have four more years of this, we're done. We are done in public education. Now, that may be a bit of hyperbole, but it's certainly an expression of his belief and others' beliefs about what happens if.
I want to read another quote from Matt Bevin from the Fancy Farm stage that I think will illustrate a factor that's very serious in the Kentucky race. He said, quote, "Do you stand with Donald Trump as the president of America, or do you stand with the squad or whatever they call themselves these days? That is the question." And this has to be a challenge, Ryan, for Democrats this year, because even though Matt Bevin polls poorly, President Trump is very popular in Kentucky. And he said just last week here in Cincinnati that he would book a big arena, Matt Bevin, because we're going to come to a rally for you ahead of your November election. How does Beshear run against Bevin while engaging Trump voters and bringing them to his side?
Yeah, I wish I had more insights into that. But I will say that Fancy Farm, the event itself, was interesting because Senator McConnell himself got a huge cheer, a number of things, anti-socialism, you know, anything against socialism, huge cheer. Trump didn't get the cheers that I thought, and granted that could be where the microphones are placed, and there were plenty of cheers, but it wasn't the same roar that you saw there. Now, Fancy Farm, there's a self-selection mechanism, we would say. People who show up to that are very savvy individuals, politically savvy, and so they're not the same as the voters that you're talking about. Well, I think that you're seeing Andy Beshear try to walk this fine line in, for instance, the fact that he wouldn't be definite in calling President Trump's remarks racist, the tweets. So there you see evidence that he's trying to kind of walk this line. The squad, AOC and others, I don't think they resonate as much as like a Hillary Clinton, because a lot of people really don't know who they are. The squad itself is becoming a name, but it's not like Hillary. But Hillary herself is a very moderate Democrat, as you know, ideological spectrums go.
But the character of Hillary Clinton is the character
exactly
of Nancy
was very, very much activated people and turned a lot of people off. So it's more about Trump than it is about whoever the other foil is. But I don't have an answer for how the Attorney General is going to be able to appeal to those people.
I'm sure they're trying to figure that out in their offices as well. And Cole, I mean, that's got to be a concern for you on the Democratic side, is that how do you balance the attack on Matt Bevin while not alienating people who may be more keen on voting for Republicans because of Donald Trump?
Am I on?
You're on.
Okay. Well, that actually, as you well know, I tested that last year.
You ran for state representative.
I ran for the state legislature and realized in walking to 7,000 doors that I was running not only against my opponent but against the president. And it's tough. It is tough. There's no question about it. It's tough. I wonder why people feel the way they do about him. But putting that aside, I think what Attorney General Beshear is trying to do is focus people, as he is wont to do, because he is ultimately a very serious policy person, on those issues that matter to Kentuckians, that matter to all Kentuckians, our public education system. Our health care, we have the worst health statistics in the country, and we have a program that's providing health care to 500,000 people that this governor wants to take down and is trying to take down with his waiver. That would be reversed the first day Andy took office if he won. Infrastructure and jobs that really matter, solar industry. The governor, protects the coal industry. He wants to keep coal, you know? So I think my point is that I think Andy is focused on the right issue sets for Kentucky people. You know, will he be successful in doing so in overcoming the sentiment about the president remains to be seen.
I'm
glad you will, because I want to ask you actually as a representative of the Republicans is Matt Bevin is often compared to Donald Trump, both by people who like him and people who don't.
Right.
And I'm curious why you think that he polls so poorly in Kentucky while Trump doesn't.
Well, the thought I wanted to get to first. Well, actually, maybe this answers your question. I think the Democratic Party of Kentucky's biggest enemy is the Democratic Party. And that was proven through or probably displayed through Mike Harmon's speech. State Auditor Mike Harmon gave a Jeff Foxworthy rendition of "You Might Be a Far Left Democrat If," and he went through several scenarios. The Democratic Party of this country has become the party of socialism, and that's represented by the Squad. And I think that's where Andy can't run away from is the fact that if you're a Democrat, it's really hard to get away from being a far left Democrat, because that's what the national party is. And the state auditor ended his speech saying, you know, you might think you're a Democrat, but your party has left you behind.
Mike Harmon would be the guy to resurrect a 1990s style joke, because he's known. He's like king of the dad joke, if I remember him from the 2015 campaign.
He is so funny and such a kind person. You know, I'm surprised that we're almost at the end and we haven't talked about the attorney general race.
No, I just very quickly, because I want to touch on that. And we just have about 30 seconds to do that. But I do want to say that Mitch McConnell spoke, and the reason that his opponents did not speak was the way the Fancy Farm rules work, or that if you currently hold a statewide office, you are invited to speak. You don't have the opponent come until the year that the election takes place. So that's why we didn't see the Amy McGrath or whoever may win the Democratic nomination next year. 15 seconds is all we've got. I want to know which down ballot candidate stood out the most to you, Sarah.
Okay, so Daniel Cameron.
He's attorney general candidate.
As the attorney general candidate. He is a young, bright African-American man, 33 years old. Greg Stumbo called him a child. I'm also 33. Okay. And so was Thomas Jefferson when he wrote the Declaration of Independence.
Well done. Call, very quickly, 5 seconds. Who stood out on the
Actually, Danville? Robert Conway,
running for treasurer.
Commissioner of Agriculture.
Oh, Agriculture, my apologies.
Gave a terrific speech.
And Ryan Salzman.
Yeah, I like Conway and I liked Ball, the treasurer. I thought both of those were very good, very interesting. And they can watch tonight. It's back re-airing tonight at 7 o'clock on KET.
All right. Great. There's a good plug.
Please
Sarah Cameron, Cole Owens,
Thank
Ryan
you
Salzman.
So much.
Thanks so
I love
much.
Joining you.
This
Thank
is Cincinnati
you.
Edition, and I'm Michael Monks.